In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The collect for today asks that we may keep the covenant we have made with the Lord. And in our baptism, completed in our confirmation, there is a covenant theology that God and we are bound together. We are bound to the Lord. And the covenant concept is vital to understand. If you want to understand the story of the Holy Scriptures from beginning to end, covenant is a concept you've got to be wrestling with through that whole study. And the wonderful thing about the covenants are that when God chooses a representative, a head, a king, a father, to make a covenant with, all who are connected with that person receive the benefits of that covenant. God does not, the scriptures don't really allow an individualistic approach to God. It's always corporate through a representative. And the oldest covenant in the scripture, of course, that we see, and it's not the right word, but it's the best one I can come up with, it negotiated when God comes to Abraham and says, these are the blessings, these are the curses, this is what I expect of you, and this is what I'll do for you. And God makes a covenant with Abraham. And the animals are slaughtered, and God takes an oath. Let me be destroyed if this covenant is broken. And yet Isaac got the benefits of that covenant, and Jacob and all his children, and all the people of Israel. The covenant was made with Abraham. And yet the rest of the children of Abraham, the whole family, the whole clan, all those people, and some of them weren't even related because they were his servants, and they became inheritors of the covenant. And of course, the second covenant, the new covenant in the blood of Christ, enacted in much the same way, negotiated that one will come, one will die, one will be sacrificed, one will walk through death, and all who are connected to that one, Lord Jesus, will receive the benefits of that covenant. So in a very real sense, the covenant is made with someone other than you and me. The covenant we live under was made between the eternal Father and Jesus, his Son. That's who sealed it. That's who cut the deal, so to speak. But we use the language that in our baptism, we make a covenant with him. And yet the covenant that we make with the Lord is not the one that has the eternal power behind it. Ours is participatory. His is foundational. The covenant that the eternal Father made with the Lord Jesus Christ will never be shaken. It has changed the fabric of all existence. And he tells us, come into covenant with me and participate in that which I have done. And so we come to baptism as Christ lived through the covenant with Abraham. He went down into Egypt. He was called forth. He came to the Jordan River, passed through it, down into it and back out, the way that the children of Israel did when they came into the promised land. And when they came into the promised land, they were given ministry, they were given work, they were given build the kingdom. Jesus, like them, goes to Egypt. Years later, comes to the Jordan River, goes down, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. God gives him his blessing verbally. And now his ministry starts, build the kingdom. He's paralleling, he's living into that which was given to his people in Abraham. And yet he's going to layer upon it something new and something wonderful for us to participate in. That covenant that he made with the Father, again, foundational, changed the fabric of reality. The question is, are we going to participate in it covenantally or not? Well, what can we do? If he has changed the foundation of what is real and what is true, if he has paid the penalty for sin and opened the gates of heaven, you might raise your hand and say, what's left for me to do? In a very real sense, what's left for you to do is to say amen to what God has done. In a very particular way, I want to look at the Isaiah reading today. As I grew up understanding it, human beings have three problems, and only three problems. Just three. Our past, our present, and our future. But our Isaiah reading today puts our past, our present, and our future into the context of what God has done for us, what God has declared to be true of us, the covenant that on the foundation of God's character and God's will and God's intention, what do we do with our past, our present, and our future? Well, he says for one thing in that Isaiah passage, you have been bought. You have been redeemed. I have traded something else for your life. Now, the story in the Old Covenant is that God traded the life of Egypt for the life of Israel. The firstborn of Egypt died so they could escape. For us, he gave the life of his own son in exchange for ours. We have been purchased. The price has been paid. It is a sufficient price. It is more than a sufficient price. And do you think if God paid the sufficient price for your life, your soul, that he's going to let anything take you out of his hand? He's not going to let you slip. You are secure. So in our baptism, and this is a theological point that some may debate, and I'll be happy to do it sometime. Are we actually changed? Well, I believe that every human being ever born was made in the image of God, bears the image of God, is loved by God. What changes in baptism? What changes in baptism is that now you know you were bought with a price. Now you know, not in some fuzzy way that God may love me, or that the universe will take care of me, or some whatever people explain in whatever way, but that the eternal God, the maker of the universe, when I had fallen away, bought me back. He bought everybody back, but a lot of our brothers and sisters in the human race don't know it. They don't acknowledge it. They do not have the Holy Spirit living within them, letting them know that they are secure in God because they were bought with a price that was more than sufficient. Our past, we were bought. Because you are bought, he says, do not fear. That's our present. Do not be afraid of what's happening now. Stand in a place of certainty. Okay? When we come to the Lord's Prayer in the liturgy, we say, we are bold to say, bold. I said bold. The book of Hebrews, the writer of that wonderful epistle, says, we come boldly before the throne of grace to get grace to help in time of need. Okay? Now, maybe you have to come boldly carrying the cross in front of your face, but you come in boldly. There's nothing to be afraid of. We don't have to fear God because he loves us. He has forgiven us. We don't have to fear what anyone else or the conditions of the world or the things I'm afraid of or my weakness or my sickness or my sin. None of that should cause me today to be afraid because the price that was paid is enough. True about us, we've been redeemed. Our response to that today is do not be afraid. Approach in praise and prayer and petition and receiving of sacrament and studying of scripture and love of neighbor within the Christian community and outside. Approach all of that without fear because nothing can take you out of his hand. You've been bought with a price. And thirdly, go forward. One of my favorite stories in the scripture, again, going back to the day of the Exodus, when the firstborn of Egypt have died, and the people of Israel eat the Passover, and they escape from Egypt, and they're on the run for 3 days, and they come to the edge of the water. and the armies of Egypt are behind them, and the water is in front of them. And what's the first thing you do when things go bad? Gripe about Moses. Right? That's what you do. So they start complaining. You just brought us out in the wilderness to die. And Moses turns to God and says, God, did you bring us out in the wilderness to die? And God says, raise up your staff. Tell the people to go forward. Doesn't matter that there's an ocean in the way. It doesn't matter that there's fire coming before you. What does Isaiah say? Exactly those things. If you have to pass through the water, it will not overwhelm you. If you have to pass through the flame, it will not destroy you. The water that God asks us to pass through, even when it seems like it's those miseries of life and the fire that's the trials of life, when God tells you to go through the water, it's the water of washing and purification, and the fire is the fire of purification and refinement, not drowning and burning, but cleaning and holiness. Don't be afraid of what's in front of you. Go forward. When we accept baptism, the covenant we make is a covenant of not foundational reality, but a covenant of participation in that which is secure already in Jesus. That we have been bought with a price, that there's nothing to fear, and that we can walk forward knowing that the goal, holiness, heaven, eternity, resurrection, is waiting for us on the other side of whatever comes next. I think it's wonderfully beautiful that at the baptism of Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, the voice of the Father came down and said, this is my beloved Son. I am well pleased. He didn't wait until he was done to say he was well pleased. He said, I am pleased with you. Not because of what you've done or what you've accomplished, but in you. I love you. I take delight in you. And that is how God speaks about each one of you. And that's how God speaks of me. Yes, they fell away, but I take great delight in them, so I'm going to redeem them back. Yes, they're in the middle of troubles, but I take great delight in them, so I don't want them to be afraid. Yes, they're going to have to go through the trials of life, whether it's pain or fear and sickness and death and betrayal and misery, but I want them to know that nothing can take them out of my hand. So I'm going to make sure they know that I will walk with them through that fire, through that flood. Our response in covenant is to say the same thing about ourselves that God says about us. He says, I've redeemed you, and I say, I've been redeemed. He says, do not fear, and I stand up and say, I'm not afraid. He says, go forward through the fire and through the flood, and I in confidence take the step like the people did at the Red Sea and were saved. What God says about the Lord, this is my beloved child. I take great delight in him. He says about you. Our covenant says amen to the word of God. Amen.